I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're recording early this week because bow camp has started. We're in October now, October 3rd, and I'm headed down to Shartucky, as you probably heard in the previous segment, and Barbecue Bob's doing a cook at his work. And I don't know if I'm going to have any venison or not. I know I'm not bringing it, but there'll be 20 guys there that hunted potentially on Saturday morning, so I'm betting one of them will pop a little buck or a doe and bring some venison over. So I'm going to throw in the tech in addition to the smoker. And what I think I'm going to do is bring some vinegars and some flavored oils down from our friends at Old World Olive Company.
Yep.
And make sure I have that and a little bit of seasoning with me, and we'll cook up some on-the-spot venison if it shows up.
That'd be nice.
Did the same thing with duck, too, because it's duck season. And a little bit later in the show, I'll talk about I went up north last weekend to the UP, caught a couple fish, not many, but the duck hunters were thick. Really thick up there in the UP, so and I got a duck recipe too that we might do. So, but anyway, you want to talk a little bit about meat on a spit?
Yeah, because you know, the tough thing about getting back out of your blind at 6-7 o'clock at night is everybody's hungry and it's dark, and depending on what you're camping in or cabin or whatever, it's kind of a tough time to get something going. So one of the ways you can offset that is to, like we always talk about the Dutch oven, that's always easy. You can set some stew next to the fire, chili, whatever. But what we like to do is, a friend of mine is big on his battery-powered spit, and I've gotten to be quite fond of using it. I found one that I'm going to buy. It's made in Australia. It's called barbecuespitrotisserie.com. It's an Auspit, A-U-S-P-I-T, Aussies. It's all made in Australia. It's really good-looking stuff. It's a little on the pricey side, but it's heavy-duty, and it's not made by the CCP, so you're not funneling money to overthrow your country.
So what's so unique about it?
Well, it's just made beautifully. It's heavy-duty, and I did some time in Australia in the Air Force, so I'm very fond of the Aussies. I served with them, and they're just a great bunch of blokes and Sheilas, of course.
Right.
But one of the things that I've gotten to be really fond of is a Brazilian style. So those spits are nice for a Brazilian style barbecue. And basically, it's a nice long rod spit, and you take your different cuts of meat. Typically, if you're going to do beef, you're going to use steak cuts, steak varieties, and you can mix a little onion or some sort of other flavor profile between the cuts if you want. But you sandwich them all together, you put your tines on the end, and then you put it on this battery-powered spit, and you literally set it next to your fire so that the radiant heat from the fire does the cooking. And you're going to have to practice this, because what you want to make sure is that it's done when you're back and not overdone.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well,
it,
that's
got to
be a little bit of a challenge, because you're doing this on a wood fire, an open fire. You're going to set it to the side, I'm assuming,
yep,
and maybe rake some coals over so you're getting some really direct radiant heat, but no flame, right? Yeah, and depending on how much of that you rake over, depending on how far that your piece of meat is above that heat, there's some variables that
typically
are happening there.
The way I'm talking about doing it, you don't even rake the coals over. You set it next to your fire, and you put some oak on there that'll burn a long time, or hickory, whatever you've got in the woods. And the heat is on the side of it, like a lot of grills will have an infrared burner on the back, and the rotisserie is spinning in front of it. So your heat's coming from the side, which doesn't matter. In this case, it's just wood, so, I mean, you've got tons of it to burn. And you'd want to have your fire going for a few hours before you get this set up, so you got a great bed of coals. And then you put one good long burner on it, a whole piece of wood, so you'll have fire for several hours. Because, like, I'm usually in my tree by 3:30, and I'm back around 7, so you're going to need 3.5 hours of heat.
Right.
And you don't want to overcook it. So
and you don't want it to burn out.
I say it practice. And it might be a little low when you get back, but I'd rather it be a little behind and then just speed it up than to have to eat overdone meat.
Right. Now, we have a grill that we traded some advertising for with our friends over at Vicky's Pasty Shop, and that's a stainless steel box that we only use that for a charcoal rotisserie.
Right.
And that, of course, is, I guess, what I would call a more modern piece of equipment.
Yes.
I mean, it's got a coal bed that raises and lowers, and the rotisserie rod's 7/8, so you can put up to like 150 pounds on that thing if you
right.
want to do a small hog
right.
or whatever it is. That's a little more easy to control because it's air in.
And you're there with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
When you go to these Brazilian steakhouses, they have, like the one I was at in Atlanta or Orlando, I was in a couple different ones, but they'll have, the one in Atlanta was cool because they had plexiglass sides around the firebox, and they had just a tower of meat and rotisseries going. So you had this visual that was just incredible.
Right.
And, of course, they keep pulling the stuff off the bottom and shuffling it all down based on the temperature they're trying to get to and getting closer to the fire. But then you've got this big spit, and you take it around, and you literally hold it over the plate, and you carve down the side, and you shave off pieces of
right.
meat, and it falls onto the plate, and it's just a meat fest.
Sure.
It's
yeah.
just a meat fest. A good one.
Right. A very good one.
yeah.
And sometimes you eat too much when you do stuff like that. And they have a lot of different varieties of meat
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, so you can do a Southern style, and for that, very often you'll do chicken. And for that, I'm going to go with skinless, boneless chicken thighs. And I might put some prosciutto in between them. I might put some Canadian bacon. I'm going to probably throw something in there just because I love the look of layers. And then I'm going to hit it with some kind of a Southern barbecue profile. And that, for your chicken lovers, is fantastic. Now, you can do chicken on one end, and you can do your beef on the other, or lamb, or whatever you want to stack up like that. Let's say you want to do a bunch of gyros. Well, you can get a bunch of lamb, and you can make your gyro meat that way. You can literally buy a section of the gyro meat and put that on there, because that's what they do when you're at a gyro shop. They have them standing up in front of an infrared burner, spinning off, and they just carve it right there as you're waiting for your meal to get made, and it keeps cooking. And that's the beauty of it. You get down to some stuff that's not quite done, you just throw it back on and you let it keep turning.
Right.
And the nice thing about a rotisserie is it rolls so that the juices kind of roll along with it. It doesn't all just drip off. So it's kind of self-basting in that regard, and you can actually baste it as well. But a spit, and this place is called bbqspitrotisseries.com. They're out of Australia. Check out their website. I mean, if you're not enamored with it, fine. But I was absolutely blown away, and we want to have those people on the show.
Sure, and I'm sure in the near future we will. We just couldn't make it work today. Sure. So, Bob, one of the appetizers that I'm going to talk about real quick that we're going to do at Deer Camp is a thing called a moink ball. And a moink ball is just a meatball, a frozen meatball. You can make them yourself. I bought frozen ones. I'm going to wrap a piece of thick bacon around it, secure it with a toothpick, put those in the smoker. That'll bring the meatball up to temperature, let the bacon get a little bit crispy. And then I take a sweeter barbecue sauce and cut it with cherry juice so I get a little bit of tartness to it. And then I put a little chipotle pepper in there to get a little zip. And you dunk these things. They're on a toothpick. It's a handheld appetizer, which I love at parties. And you just dip it in this little spicy, sweet sauce.
Sounds
fantastic,
good.
Fantastic, man.
Sounds good.
They're good. People go crazy for these things, and it's a relatively cheap one to do. So, coming up next, it's the Full Belly Deli. We're going to talk with Tom Grant from Pitmaster's Butcher and Bayside Market in Traverse City. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey. And we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan. 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience Pure Michigan Wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.